my spirituality is not level. I don't come in here on Sunday morning and everything is right in my world and everything is perfect and I don't have any anger problems and I don't ever lust and I don't ever lie and I don't ever cheat and I don't ever do whatever it is that you're doing. I come in here just like all of you. I'm fighting my battles with temptation. I'm fighting my battles with the enemy constantly. And there are some days where I win. And I love those days. But there are some days where I lose and I lay down at night and I have to repent because my heart is not what it should be. It was strange, to say the least. When you walk through the village, the shops were empty. It was almost as if it was the Sabbath day, but it wasn't. Everywhere you turned, the shops were closed, the markets, the streets, everything about it was deserted. About all you saw was maybe one or two people from time to time. But the thing that you would remember the most is the fact that the dogs were roaming the streets freely, not being shooed away. But it wasn't just the villages that were that way, it was also the farms, where you would normally see people out working in the fields and things going on. They were shut down. It was almost as if everybody in the territory had disappeared. You could not find a soul around. But if you were in the know, you knew why everybody was gone. Because there was this man that was proclaiming to be the Messiah. There were stories about him healing people, about feeding 5,000, about him casting demons out of people. And some people called him teacher, and some people called him Lord. But you see, most of the people in the region, they didn't need a miracle. They had heard about the miracles, but that's not what was drawing them to him. What they had heard about was his teaching. And it was this kind of teaching that just really amazed them. You see, he was not one of the normal teachers of the law. It was not as if he had studied the scriptures. It was as if he had wrote the scriptures. And from time to time, he would confound the Pharisees with what he knew. And on this particular day, you could look off in the distance where the lake was, and you would see the people. It was an interesting setup because there was the lake there and the shoreline kind of lifted up, so it almost was like stadium seating except for people were standing. And they put this man named Jesus in a boat and they pushed him offshore a little ways and he sat down and he began to speak. You see, some of the people that were wanting to hear him preach or teach had seen the difference that he had made in their friend's life. People who had stolen in the past were trying to make right what they had stolen. People who had hated each other at one time were all of a sudden sitting and talking about some of the stories that this man said was talking about. This man was telling stories, and it made you want to know more. And you could tell the stories were simple enough that you could understand them, but you knew deep down there was something more that this man was teaching, but you had to search for it. And so every time you would get a chance, you would go and you would listen to him. And there were debates as to whether or not he was a prophet or whether or not he was really the Messiah. There were debates as to whether or not he really did heal these people like it was said. And there were debates about his stories and what they really meant. And there were debates whether or not he was going to be the one that would get them out from under Roman rule. You see, they were God's chosen people. They knew that. And they knew that a Messiah would come, and they knew that they would no longer have this oppression from the Roman government, but they had seen people rise up to take over, and they quickly failed. But this man, Jesus, was different than anything they had ever seen or even imagined in the past from the Messiah. And there were people who had had demons cast out of them, and they cried out to Jesus and called him the Son of God. And that's where the story begins. Look at the scripture in front of you. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lakes. The crowds that had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and his teaching said, "Listen." I want you to stop right there. I want you to picture Jesus being in the boat. I want you to picture the 12 disciples kind of lining the shoreline, acting like crowd control. If you've ever been to one of those concerts where the guy's got security on the back of his t-shirt and he's looking out at everybody, well, Jesus has got 12 security guards and they're all looking out and they're keeping people at bay. And Jesus starts telling these parables, and we don't have recorded what those parables were, but I imagine there's some of the parables that we have recorded that he repeated more than once, because you know how we are. We have to hear things more than once in order to get it. And so he's sitting in the boat, and they're all standing there, and they're waiting for this man to speak. And he says, "Listen." This was his invitation. On this particular day, every Lord's Day, I do an invitation of some sort, and we sing an invitation song. I don't know that Jesus gave this invitation, and they had an invitation song and a prayer. It's not recorded, but I want you to look at this as Jesus' invitation to all of those people that day. He says, "Listen, listen, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, so it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered away because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and grew and produced crops. Some multiplied 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." The invitation is yours. We can stand and sing. I cannot imagine being in the crowd that day and hearing that. I've been preaching for a long time. Coming up well over half of my lifetime, preaching full time. And I know when I've done a good job and gotten the word out there. And I know when I haven't. But I can tell you this about most people. They have enough of an emotional intelligence that even when I've done a poor job, they'll come by and say, "Thank you, preacher. Good job." I know that even when I preach something or teach something that's over people's heads, they'll at least be polite about it. But I just wonder what people said to Jesus as he got out of the boat and he walked away. You've heard of the mic drop. You've seen actors and singers drop the mic. That's what Jesus did that day. And it was so confounding. I can imagine, you know, people who were shop owners listening, what does he mean by that? Are we supposed to all be farmers now? Because I don't know anything at all about farmers. And the farmers were probably saying to themselves, why is he picking on us? We don't scatter our seeds in the wrong places. Why is he picking on us? And then when he gets down to what the soil represents and all, there were farmers that were there and they were saying to themselves, still one seed fell on good soil and it came up and it grew, produced a crop, some multiplied 30, some 60, some 100 times. What does he mean by that? Because the best I've ever gotten, normally I get 3% yield, three times my yield. Sometimes I get 7, and on really, really good years, I've gotten 10, but never 30, never 60. That's ludicrous. How in the world can he say that we're supposed to do this? And I can imagine his disciples, his 12, walking along behind him saying, you know what he meant? I don't know what he meant. Right, we need to ask him. No, you ask him. I asked him last time. I don't want to be stupid one again. The only stupid questions are ones you don't ask. Okay, I'll do it. But this is the last time. From here on out, you ask. Oh, let's get John. He likes John the best anyway. He'll ask. And so the story says, when he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parable. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So that, because of, they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, they and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. And then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? I want you to stop right there, because I think everybody in this room has heard this parable probably at least 100 times. It's one of the parables that preachers use from time to time to talk about when we're evangelizing what's going to happen out in the world. We use it from time to time to satisfy our soul, because we say, you know, we're only 25% of the seed that is ever sown produces anything. And we use this parable to talk about other people. But what Jesus is talking about when he gave this invitation is he was talking to me and you. Because you see, I've been in the church long enough to know that it is not up to me for you to grow spiritually. It's up to you, and it's up to you to make sure you're ready to grow spiritually. So Jesus kind of starts talking to them in a way that they can understand, but you need to understand that he's talking to us through his word. And so he says here, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes along and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others are like the seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once it's receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecutions come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I want you to get one thing out of this lesson tonight, and it's the next slide I want y'all to read with me. The only thing you need to know tonight, the only one responsible for my spiritual growth is me. The only one responsible for my spiritual growth is me. I've been doing this preacher thing for a while, and I have to tell you, this has been an amazing congregation to be a part of, and for the most part, my experiences with this church are very, very positive. But I have had some experiences not been so positive. And I was doing this lesson, and I was thinking about some of the people that have heard me preach, and some of them just don't like the way I preach. I feel sorry for them. But I've had people that have come to me, and they said, you know, Neil, we're leaving the church. We're going to go someplace else. And this is what they say, because I'm not getting fed. Now, I can only think in my years of preaching that I've only heard that 3 or 4 times. That's not many, but I have heard others when they've come here, or I've known others before I was preaching who use that term, I'm not getting fed. How many of you have ever bought a diet book in your life? Just raise your hand. Let's all confess right now, it's okay if you bought one. I've bought a couple in my lifetime. I really like I think it was the Atkins diet. Is that the one where you eat bacon all the time? Yeah, I like that one. I thought that was a really good diet book. But I just, you know, I got to tell you, I tried it, but you can't eat bacon all the time. It starts to get where you just don't like bacon anymore, and I didn't want that to happen to me. That'd be a terrible thing. But I've known people who've bought diet books, and they've read through it, and they talk about how great this diet book is and all, and I'll ask them, have you tried it? Well, no, I'm still finishing the book. Have you tried exercising? Oh, no, I think I'm allergic to exercising. You see, when I exercise, I get hot, I start breathing hard, and I sweat, and my face turns red. It can't be good for me. And we're all laughing. But the reality of it is a lot of times we get fed, and we get the book, and we read the book, and we study the book, but we don't ever apply the book. And so when Jesus was teaching, he was wanting us to see where we are. And I'm going to tell you this, we are all, on every occasion when we come before God's word, whether it's in a Bible class or whether it's in a sermon or whether it's in our own private study, we are always one of these four soils that's mentioned here. We're one of the four every single time, because there will be Sundays where I'll preach a message and somebody walks out and they're in tears because the message hit home with them and they're ready to do something about their lives. And the other person slept through the sermon, walks out and says, nice sermon, Neil. See you next Sunday. And I've watched Christians who start out great and then die on the vine. And I've watched Christians be committed and the things of this world are more important than the things of God. So as we go through this, as we ask, what kind of dirt are you? And I want to make sure that I got to call everybody in the audience tonight, online and here, dirt, because I can't do that without getting fired very much. But I want to ask you tonight, what kind of dirt are you tonight? And what kind of dirt will you be tomorrow? And if all the dirt, all the seed that you're getting is here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, I tell you what, you're not going to produce very much of a crop. you need to be in the Word during the week. And I tell you, one of the hardest things for me was when I first started studying on a daily basis, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to get more knowledge. And then there was a time where I wanted to check off the box. I'm reading through the Bible in a year. I'm only 14 weeks behind. I'm going to do it this time. Now I read the Bible and I let the Word soak in. I make myself part of the story, like I did tonight with this parable. And I listen and I let God speak to me as to where I am and what I need to do differently. And folks, the reason why I'm telling you this is because my spirituality is not level. I don't come in here on Sunday morning and everything is right in my world and everything is perfect and I don't have any anger problems and I don't ever lust and I don't ever lie and I don't ever cheat and I don't ever do whatever it is that you're doing. I come in here just like all of you. I'm fighting my battles with temptation. I'm fighting my battles with the enemy constantly. And there are some days where I win. And I love those days. But there are some days where I lose and I lay down at night and I have to repent because my heart is not what it should be. And it's not that I have done something tremendously wrong that you would look at and say, well, Neil, you know, that's no big deal. You would probably say, Neil, that's no big deal. I've gotten mad too. You shouldn't. And I think that's not Jesus. And that's what hurts, because I want to be Jesus, but my spiritual walk goes up and down, and I imagine that most everybody in here does the same thing. The people that I'm close to, I know theirs does, because whether they'll admit it or not, I see it in their life. And so I want you tonight, as we're looking at these soils, the dirt, I'm having a hard time with soil and soul tonight. I just brushed my teeth. I can't do a thing with them. As we're looking at this dirt tonight, I'm just going to call it dirt. I want you to consider where you are spiritually, and I want you to consider where you are spiritually tomorrow in this, and I want you to consider for the rest of your life whether or not you're receiving the Word and how you're receiving the Word. The first dirt number one, God's work in our life depends on our openness. God's work in our life depends on our openness. It says some people are like seeds along the path where they are worn, where the Word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the Word that was sown in them. And I have to think about some of the paths that I've been on. I like to hike. And that's one of my fun things to do. I know there's some other people in here that like to hike, and that is just to me. But you know, I like the trails that are worn, because the trails that are not worn, a lot of times they're muddy and they got stuff in them, and you know, it's not as much fun. But the hard soil, I mean, it can rain and rain and rain, and you can walk on it right after it rains, because it's hard, it's packed. And I know when I'm preaching on Sunday morning, there are some people, because of circumstances that have gone on, they may have been hurt by somebody in the church. And sometimes I have met people that have been hurt by churches. As a matter of fact, there's some of you in the room that I know have been hurt by churches. Not that I know it personally, but with this many people, there have been some people that have been in churches that have hurt them. And when you go to a church that has hurt you, sometimes it's hard to be open. And I can tell you this from my days, that my dad thought he was a farmer. He was a preacher, but he thought he was a farmer. At least he thought we ought to be farmers for him. We were his indentured servants, and we had to till soil. And I grew up in the Carolinas, and any of you know anything about the Carolinas, they have a lot of brick homes up there, and that's because the soil is hard red clay. And I remember tilling up the ground that had been walked on. And I don't know if you've ever used a tiller, but when you watch them on TV, they just kind of walk along like this, and the soil gets tilled up nice and brown and green. Well, when you're on red clay, it's more like and you're fighting constantly to break up the ground. And some people come in and they're that hardened by what has happened to them. And they come in and they don't listen. And they don't hear. And they may have been baptized at one time, but the word doesn't come through. You see, God's work in our life first and foremost depends on our openness. And I've been doing this for a long time. And one of the things that I do is they come to church, they hear the stories, they may laugh at a couple of the things that I say, but none of it's getting through. None of it's getting past where they are. And then there's the people that come and you see like that, and then one story, one illustration, one scripture, and you can see the crack. And you can see that they're rethinking things. Dirt number two. God's work in our life must be a personal commitment. God's work in our life must be a personal commitment. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. I've seen this happen. I saw it actually happen. The one that hurt me the most was a lady that started coming to church, not here, but another church, and I was preaching, and she was so excited every Sunday. She says, "I've never heard the Word of God proclaimed like you're proclaiming it. I want to know more." So we sat down and we did a Bible study, and we went through the plan of salvation, what God wants for her life. And she says, "I can't wait to get back and share this with my husband and with my kids. And I'm going to try to get them to come to church with me. And it's going to be a fantastic thing." The next week, and I told her after I baptized her, I said, "You're going to have to be on the lookout for Satan, because he's coming after you. Anybody that is this excited about being a Christian, Satan's going to attack. So you need to be ready." The next week she called me and told me her husband had left her, run off with another woman. And then her kid was using drugs and she found out about it. And I'll never forget her with tears in her eyes and saying, "Neil, I can't do this. I can't do this." And she never came back to church. I wish I could tell you I had the right words, but you don't have the right words when somebody says, "I can't stand the persecution." I've seen more than one person who's on fire for God getting tripped up by Satan. And if you're here or you're listening online and Satan's tripping you up, don't give up. Don't give up. Because these are the people that make the commitment, but they don't stick with it. But in order for us to be the right kind of dirt, we've got to have a personal commitment to God no matter what. And for those of us who've grown up in a world that is so nice, and I say a world, I'm talking about our world in the United States, it's so much easier for Satan to trip us up. The third kind of dirt. God's work in our life must be our first priority. God's work in our life must be our first priority. You see, A lot of people have let God be this area over here. And men particularly, we like thinking in boxes. And we like to have a box for our hobbies, we like to have a box for our family, and we like to have a box for God, and we like to have a box for our favorite NFL team. Even if it is the Cowboys, we can't help you with that. We got a Cowboy fan here who's gloating tonight. But the thing of it is we've got all these boxes, and we want to put God in a box, and we want to say, God, I'm going to spend time with you today. It's Sunday. This is my God box. This is where I come and I think about God. But God has to be the big box that covers all our other boxes. By the way, women, men have a box that has nothing in it. Yes. And when, amen. And when you ask your spouse what he's thinking about, and he says nothing, believe him, because he is in his nothing box. Okay? It's a big box. This isn't life groups, but we don't need to confess for other people. But the thing of it is we need to let God encompass all of our life. He needs to be our first priority. I remember my mom and dad making my life so miserable as a teenager, because every job I got, I had to tell the people, I can't work Wednesday nights or Sundays. There were sporting events. My brother was much bigger than me, and he played football, and he had to go to his coaches. My mom and dad wouldn't do this for us. We had to do it. We had to go to the coach, or my brother had to go to the coach and say, hey, I can't practice, play, or do anything on Sundays or Wednesday nights. And their parents today would think that was the cruelest thing that you could do to a teenager. But all of us are still in the church and faithful. But I know a lot of people that have let sports and other things, work, become a priority. Bryce, are you up there? Yeah, Bryce is up there. Bryce Briggs is up there. Bryce, he and I've been buddies for a long time, and when he worked for me for a while, and he, like most people, when they spend enough time with me, they want to find another job. But Bryce wanted to find another job, so he started looking, and when he was looking, I said to him, now Bryce, you need to tell him you can't work on Sundays and you can't work on Wednesdays. And he says, I know, my mom already told me. And guess what? Bryce doesn't work on Sundays, and he doesn't work on Wednesdays. Because parents, if you're not making God a priority, your kids are not going to make it a priority. The worst thing that ever happened is we got invited. I was playing soccer at the time. I was a junior varsity player, but I got invited to go play with the varsity players. Matt, I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the better I was at soccer. Okay, and you can hang on to that, because you're going to have the same issue one day. But I was playing varsity soccer when I was in junior high. And it wasn't that I was that good. It was that I was that quick and that skinny that I could get around those guys. I could run through most of them's legs. Okay, that's how fast and agile I was. And so I got to go to a soccer tournament in Clemson, South Carolina, at the University of Clemson. And we were going to watch Brazil play the Clemson soccer team, and we were going to get to compete against another team. It was an exhibition kind of thing, and I was so excited until they said, we're going down Friday night, we're going to be playing late Saturday, so we're going to have to stay over Sunday. And my dad said, well, you can't go unless you can get the coach to agree to take you all of the team to church. I went to Clemson, and we went to church. We don't even make Sunday morning worship important. We don't even make life groups important. But God says, still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, not wealth, but the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in. And what are those other things? They can be a number of things. They can be good things. They can be bad things. And choke the word, making it unfruitful. And choke the word, making it unfruitful. And the fourth kind of dirt is God's work in our life is an ongoing series of choices. It's not a once and done, and a lot of us want that to be. I would really like it if God said, Neil, get baptized, and after you're baptized, love God and be nice to the people you like. I would love that. I would think that I can handle that. But he goes on to say things like, love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. Forgive. As I have forgiven you. But it still doesn't make it easy, Jan. It's still hard. And Jan, you're a nice guy. But I bet your wife there could tell us there's some times you haven't been nice. Kathy, would you do that for us? No, I'm just kidding, Kathy. She's in her empty box now. But the thing of it is you know, we can be nice, and I'm nice most of the time, but I got to tell you, there's some times I'm not so nice. I actually ran a guy off from this church one time. And told, I mean, I was mean to him. And you're going to say, well, Neil, you were absolutely right in what you were doing, and I felt justified at the time, but I don't like what I did because now I know better. But the guy came in, and every Sunday he had something negative to say about me. And I can handle that. You can talk trash about me all you want. I can handle it. But he said something about my wife. And that's when I got serious. And I told him that if he ever spoke about my wife again like that, he and I would go outside and we would have this conversation outside because I wasn't going to do it in the church. And you're saying, well, Neil, you were justified. Yeah, I may have been justified, but it still wasn't the right way to handle it. It's an ongoing series of choices we make every single day. I either try to do it God's way or I try to do it Neil's way. But if I do it God's way, the seed is sown on good soil. I hear the word, I accept it, and it produces a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And I don't want you to look at that from the standpoint of I've converted 30 times or 60 times or whatever. I want you to look at it from the standpoint of what God does inside of me. He produces something inside of me that's 30 times better than what it was, or 60 times better than what it was, or 100 times better than what it was. And I'm going to tell you, I've been fighting anger my entire life. It's something I have to deal with. But I know that if I hear the word and let it get in my heart, that anger becomes less and kindness and love becomes more. Doesn't mean I've conquered my anger, but it's a series of choices I make ongoing. I've got 5 minutes to finish this up, so we're going to do it real quick, and then I'm going to ask for questions, comments, concerns, criticisms. And by the way, if you didn't like this lesson, you can get your money back. Just ask John Shackelford. He'll give it to you. I think he was the one taking it up at the door. But you got three things you've got to do here to grow as a Christian. Number one, you've got to hear God's Word. And we hear it in different ways. We hear it through sermons. We hear it through podcasts. We hear it through the Bible reading. And we hear it mostly, in my mind, when we go one-on-one with God. That's when I hear it the most. And some of you are saying, you know, I just read my Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. And I so understand you. And if that's where you are, I can show you how to read your Bible differently. As a matter of fact, I thought about doing that one day. I do it when I teach and when I preach. But it's just so simple to just put yourself in God's Word and quit trying to get a number of verses in and quit trying to understand, but ask questions and mull it over what God's saying to you. Second thing is you've got to accept God's Word. It's kind of like the diet books a lot of us have had. Oh, this is good. I can do this. But we never put into practice what God is saying. There's some things that we accept and some things that we don't. And finally, obey God's Word. That means be doers of the Word, not hearers only. There you go. Obey God's Word is the third one. Now, I say all of that because I want you to look how simple this is. If you want to grow as a Christian, you just got to hear God's Word, you got to accept God's Word, and you've got to obey God's Word. You know, I don't like a lot of the things that God says about different things. I was having a discussion today about marriage, divorce, and remarriage with someone, and I don't really like what God says about that. But you know what? I accept what God says about that. And there's people that I know that don't like what God says about women in the church and their roles. I accept what God says. And that's the first part. But the final part is to obey what God says. I've had Christians come up to me and she says, I know that I'm supposed to forgive. People will say to me, I know I'm supposed to forgive such and such, but I will never forgive them. And I think, oh, I'm so sad for you. First of all, you're killing yourself. You're not killing that person. And secondly, you're missing what God's best is for you. You accept it, and then you obey it. It's so simple, but I'm going to tell you, Jason just amen me accidentally. It's so hard. It's so hard. Because I want what I want, and you want what you want, but God wants what He wants, and God's bigger than any of us. Amen? All right, Jason, grab your mic. If anybody has a comment, a criticism, would like for me to start over, just let me know. Richard has one.
Hard soil can be tilled, rocks can be removed, and thorns can be pulled up. The type of soil that a person is not the type of soil that he has to remain.
Oh, very good. Very good point. Wait, Jan's got a...
I really like the way the Message renders verse 9. We've heard all our lives, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Eugene Peterson paraphrased it, are you listening to this? Really listening?
Yeah. It's kind of like the kindergarten teacher, boys and girls, listen, 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 listen. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus is doing. Yeah, put your listening ears on. Anybody else? Terry, did you have your hand up? No? Yeah. Oh, you want me to start all over again? Okay. See, John's got a comment in the back there. John, you're going to be the last comment, and then I'm going to close this in prayer.
Okay. I was just going to say that in the parallel account in Matthew 13, he Jesus quotes from Isaiah, and I know you know this, but I'll just share it with everybody. It says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." So it's a choice that people make.
Amen.
To either harden their heart or soften their heart.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. If you look at the top of your sermon notes and the scriptures, I've got the parallel passages up there if you want to look those up and read through those, because there is a little bit of difference in them, but I chose Mark just because that's what I wanted to do, and I had the choice. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word that guides us, that commits us, that changes us. Help us, Father, to leave here tonight thinking about what kind of dirt we are. And Father, help us till soil that is hardened. Help us remove rocks. And help us to pull weeds in our own lives so that we can be that good soil and you can give us that kind of return from your seed. Thank you, Father, for all those that are here tonight, especially, Father, for my friends that have traveled so far. Thank you for the relationship that I have with them as well as the body of Christ here, for the love that I feel constantly because of your children and the faith that is at work and your spirit that is at work at this church. Let it be so, Father, in all of our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.